This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The Chiefs have a 2-1 record amongst those two teams plus the Eagles. But what of the Chiefs, Patriots, and Steelers looking at going down the rest of this season? Pro Football Focus.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
How many intros are there of me just not being able to say Pro Football Focus?
There's just two.
Just two?
Yeah.
I feel like at this point I'm pretty confident in my ability to consecutively say those three words. Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Focus. Boom! Nailed it. You have to delete those liners now. No? Fine. Well, now we talk to a man who can almost certainly say Pro Football Focus three times fast. Kit Swanson, actually, can you? Prove it.
Pro Football Focus. I can't ha! Do it. Nope. I just tried. I'm not even, that was even a joke. I couldn't do it.
It's hard. You have to, well, listen. One, you have one episode of a podcast out. You're not a professional yet on the level that you have to be to consecutively say the three words Pro Football Focus in one quick mouthful. I can't blame you. You're only human. You're a rookie.
Little insider radio here.
Yes.
I guess I had to restart my first episode the other day because I was stumbling over the first couple words.
Yep.
So, you know, that was my second take on my first episode. So, you know,
that's okay. I stumble over the intros of this show every single day still. And then I make beer to the dump button. So I get 6 seconds to try to do it again. It sounds terrible, but it makes me feel better.
Rightfully so. And, you know, you have that creative control and I do too. Mine's actually even a little bit more concealed because I can just completely restart the whole thing. I'm not doing it live.
No.
There's no chance I'm doing it live. I guess this is live, but, you know.
That's different. If you curse or fail in some way, that just reflects on me. We have to be your safety net. I did a podcast for 2 or 3 years before I ever started doing anything live. And, man, it's so different. It is such a completely different animal because you have to just be comfortable with, well, I might say something dumb or bad or poorly, and it exists now forever. There is no control Z. So you have that safety net
right.
For a while.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that. I'm live radio is a little bit more nerve-wracking for me still. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate you giving me the chance to be on live radio. You were actually the first guy that ever gave me a shot. So I owe a great deal of gratitude to you, and I would like to think that part of the reason I started this podcast is because of the opportunities you've given me. So thanks,
all right,
buddy.
Cut that. Beards, you got that? That's a promo forever. We will use that. I will hold that over you for the rest of time. Whenever you launch off into the stratosphere and eventually eat Seth Kaiser, we will hold that and make sure that you continue to owe us this debt of gratitude. But no, yeah, I'm always excited to see whenever you're doing new things because yeah, it's I feel like I bought in this stock early, this Kent Swanson stock.
Yeah, you definitely you're the kingmaker.
See, I think this is save that also, Beards. I want that played before. I want that as a ringtone. I want my text tone to be. You're the kingmaker. I feel like that's only appropriate. Can you tell everybody that doesn't already know what it is that we're talking about that you've just started, by the way? That was poor hosting by me.
No, it's cool. So we just launched on Arrowhead Pride the AP Chiefs Draft Podcast, and we're going to spend the next couple months talking about the NFL Draft and kind of how it relates to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm geeked out about it. You know, if you thought I was a nerd in December, you're gonna see the next 2 months. You're gonna be a little concerned for me. I'm a giant draft nerd. I love the process, and I love it. Kind of looking through a kind of a Chiefs lens. So it's right up my alley. And I'm the kingmaker, but I'm the kingmaker of the six other draft nerds that are like me. So it's not
perfect.
Like, you know, I'm excited about it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And we launched today, actually. So.
So go to Arrowhead Pride. It's on the homepage right now. If you don't find that eventually, you can go to Kent's Twitter, at Kent Swanson. You can go to Arrowhead Pride's Twitter, at Arrowhead Pride. If you're listening to this show, you already follow Arrowhead Pride. But the sort of the first thing on the docket on your show that came out today was how the Chiefs replaced Marcus Peters. And there are a bunch of places I want to go through with you here today, different position groups. And you can give specific names, or you can also speak in some general statements about the depth of some different positions and everything. But first and foremost, the Chiefs suddenly have kind of a vacuum at corner. It suddenly becomes an enormous need for this defense. Where do you see the Chiefs going? Where would you be going?
Well, I think they're going to go. I think they're going to find a guy off the scrap heap in free agency. And honestly, when it comes to the draft, there's some intriguing prospects kind of in that second round range I wouldn't be opposed to them looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Couple guys, excuse me, that have some first round traits. They actually profiled them on the podcast a little bit today. A guy named Jaire Alexander. He's a cornerback from Louisville, and the only thing probably putting him within striking distance of the Chiefs is some injury concerns. But he's got that attitude and ball skills that the Chiefs just lost, letting Marcus Peters walk out the door. And there's another guy I'm kind of interested in. His name's Tre'Varris McFadden, and he's from Florida State. And he's kind of a first-round lock, a lot of people thought, going into this summer. And had a down year, didn't really develop very much. But he's kind of a guy that, you know, the Chiefs, they could maybe, you know, work him out a little bit and develop his athletic and physical traits and get a first-round talent in that round, too. And honestly, that's kind of where I'm thinking just in general with the Chiefs' strategy. You know, at 54, they need to just try to find the best football player
mm-hmm.
with some rare athletic traits and try to develop them. You know, that's kind of my mentality in that. And there might be a couple corners there that could help them, you know, replace that or fill that void, you know?
Yeah, and it's not John Dorsey anymore, obviously. But this regime, and with Andy Reid at the top at least, and I'm guessing some of this falls to Brett Veach as well, has been a fan of that. I mean, that's essentially what the Chiefs ended up doing with Chris Jones and Tano Passanio. Those were guys that you, and back to Dontari Poe even, just sort of throughout the history, recent history of the Chiefs. Those are all guys that were in that category, right, of just like incredible physical traits that needed some work?
And while I completely agree with that, and how about Patrick Mahomes?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I mean, the same kind of thing. They identify rare talent, and they try to get the most out of them, and they're able to. I feel comfortable with this group's ability to do that.
Right.
So do it any chance you can. And at 54, your first pick of the draft is 54 picks in. That's the kind of opportunity you need to try to take, and especially this year.
And it makes a lot of sense because that's something you expect from this coaching staff. If you're going to stick with Bob Sutton, you've got to believe in him and the guys under him, that their ability to develop guys, Andy Reid's ability to develop guys. One thing that I think you just misspoke on, around here, we refer to Patrick Mahomes by his full name, which is one of the best football players ever, according to Brett Veach, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you just sort of like glossed over that. Or had, you know, kind of a short circuiting, because again, this live radio thing is a different animal. But please do use his full formal title.
That's my fault. And how about Veach going there? I almost wonder if like he's just like, oh no, after that, you know?
Yes. Well, okay. I think there are two theories. One theory is that Brett Veach is just going to be a little bit more. Brett Veach is going to be a GM with two buttons unbuttoned in his button-up shirt, where he's gonna let it fly out a little bit more, which makes sense. He's younger, and he's been a little more willing to talk. Second thought, maybe he's just trying to get us to stop talking about them giving away Marcus Peters. Maybe he's like, let's just throw things at this Chiefs talk machine. Let's get them off the Marcus Peters pedestal. Let's get them talking about the best quarterback in football starting today.
I love Theory too so much.
Me too.
It makes so like that. Yeah, that's perfect. I think that's great. I mean, the Chiefs traded one of the one of the statistically best quarterbacks in football a month and a half ago,
yes.
And no one's talking about it. Like,
no.
they got to do everything they can to try to, you know, bury some of the stuff that's happened. Like, this is the craziest 2 months of offseason I've ever
yes.
seen in my life.
Yes. Okay, let me float you by this sort of line of thinking I saw on Twitter. Whenever the Chiefs traded Marcus Peters, there was some talk about, well, the Chiefs needed to shake things up. And if you don't shake things up, then you're never going to be able to convince your fan base you're growing. And I agree with that sentiment, but for me, trading Alex Smith, that was a pretty good step in the right direction as far as shaking things up. And also shifting at least half of the starting defenders from the Titans game. Because the Titans game, you had no D Ford, he'll probably be back. You had no Eric Berry, he'll be back. Ron Parker's gone. Chris Jones will be back. One of the few guys that you expect to return, Reggie Ragland. Did you have a logic behind the Marcus Peters deal that you most bought into? Was it shaking it up? Was it behind-the-scenes problems? Was it that you just are deeply, deeply in love with next year's second-round pick? How did you deal with that?
Oh man. Well, I'm still processing it,
yeah.
Honestly. And I do think it's probably just a combination of a lot of different things.
Okay.
Like I can't really put my finger on one thing. I just think there was way more to this story than we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it I think it's a perfect storm. I think it just came from a lot of different ways. There was a lot of different little things, or maybe a couple big things that we're never going to know about,
mm-hmm.
that just pushed it to this point. And I've heard a lot of different theories. I think we've talked about a few different theories before too, and
mm-hmm.
some of the stuff back there. I don't know. I think it's just kind of a perfect storm.
Yeah.
And you know, that's probably the easiest way I can even explain it. And from my perspective, I am excited about that second round pick though.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. We get to think about how good that'll be for the next calendar year. It's super exciting. Talking to Kent Swanson.
Yeah,
he's at Kent_Swanson on Twitter. He's doing the AP Draft Podcast on Arrowhead Pride. I'm watching the Combine right now in front of me. The TV in the studio. I'm watching men in their undergarments run around. And that's usually what I'm doing during the show. But today it's about football. And so I watch this and I have this sort of... I have to have a cognitive dissonance when it comes to the Combine. There was some offensive lineman who had a really terrible day. I already forgot who it was. He had like 12 bench press.
Orlando Brown.
Yes, Orlando Brown. He had like 12 bench press reps, and he ran like a 45-second 40-yard dash, and he just had like the worst day ever. And now people are talking about his draft stock falling. I can't help but think that you've got to let the actual in-game tape rule the day whenever it comes to evaluation. How much stock do you put in combine performances, and how do you incorporate that into what you know about guys from their actual game film?
Well, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Actually have a grading skill that I built this summer. Like I said, I'm a dork.
Yeah,
I'm
this
a
is super dorky.
Draft dork. I know. I'm not even embarrassed about it.
Wow,
I'm talking
okay.
in public about it. I built a grading scale, and me and my co-host on the podcast, we use the testing scores to kind of create a there's a slight bump they can get on their tape grade. It's not huge. The highest thing is about a 3% bump based on their athletic metrics. However, let's use Orlando Brown, the lumbering, ginormous, unathletic left tackle that had literally one of the worst combine performances I've ever seen.
Right.
It wasn't just the athletic testing that people were frustrated about. There's two ways to look at it, right? So
mm-hmm.
the first off was he was actually having some really poor performance in some of the drills that they were asking him to do. The coaches were having to get on him today to, you know, finish and do some stuff. But the other thing is, here's the most important thing about like with Orlando Brown. This is the biggest interview of your life,
mm-hmm.
and you have millions of dollars to earn potentially from your performance in this event, the Underwear Olympics, which I'll be at, by the way, tomorrow. I'm going to be there on some. Yeah, that'll be fun. I'm really geeked out about that. Like I said, big dork, you know the drill. But anyways, with Orlando Brown, so like this is the biggest interview of your life,
mm-hmm.
and you, clearly did not do what you could do to be ready for this event and be ready and prepared and in the best, giving yourself and putting yourself in the best possible light.
Right.
And that's what's so frustrating and interesting about some of these things is some guys will just show up there and just completely bomb a huge opportunity. And why? There's reasons there. And those are the things that are probably putting up red flags as much as being like one of the slowest 40 times in the history of man, you know? So, I mean, it's important for sure, but it's important for a couple different reasons, you know?
Who was the Bengals offensive lineman a few years ago who I found a picture of him now. I'm gonna find the name. I cannot remember it.
I think I know where you're going with this. Is it Andre Smith?
Andre Smith. I searched Andre Brown. That was not right. Yes, Andre Smith. There's an amazing photo of Andre Smith of him. He's running the 40 shirtless at his pro day, and he just has things moving in different directions in a way that is just hard to look at. And that image is stuck in my mind from guessing now, like almost, I mean, probably not quite 10 years, but certain maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6. If I remember correctly, he had a lot of these issues, ended up having a fine, but also like weirdly injury plagued career. I think he had a foot issue for a long time. But I remember this being a conversation that we had about him around that time. So that's neither here nor there. Just not, it fired those synapses for me, and it made me eventually Google and find that picture that I didn't really want to think about. Let's talk about the. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go. No, go, man.
No,
you're good.
Go.
I was going to make a joke about comparing that picture of Andre Smith to kind of like a still image of a golden retriever running.
Yes, it's perfect. No, that's perfect.
It's the exact same thing.
Hey, like his tongue is out and like his like lips are kind of moving the other direction. The retriever.
He's moving a lot of different ways you don't want to see. It's just disgusting.
Yes, that's a perfectly apt comparison. Let's talk about the defense a little bit here still before we move over to the offensive side. The Chiefs defensive line is going to be unbelievably in flux this offseason. Chris Jones is sticking around. Basically everything else is up in the air. I would expect the Chiefs to end up moving on from Alan Bailey, but at this point in this offseason, nothing could totally stun me. What are you looking at whenever you see the holes in the Chiefs defensive line, what you see from these draft prospects? And can you please convince me that we shouldn't be super excited for the possibility of having a guy playing for this team with the name of Hercules?
Oh, we're going to talk about Hercules. I'm glad you're bringing him up. Let me just get through the D-line real quick. I'll just explain at with him. I think there's potential value at all spots in that front seven, and the Chiefs should be doing anything they can to reinforce that. There's some good pieces there. I mean, you think about it. They've got a great edge rusher. Mm-hmm. They've got a great interior D-lineman. They got Reggie Ragland. There's some good pieces there. You just need to supplement them with young talent.
Right.
I think there's an opportunity for them to gain value, especially like the second round. There might be a really good defensive front seven prospect. There's a really nice defensive lineman named Tim Settle. He's a dancing bear. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Tim does not have the same ring to it that Hercules does. I can't get fired up about Tim.
I will talk about Hercules Matafa because I've got a comparison that you are going to absolutely love.
I'm so
excited. However, this guy's name's Tim Settle, and you know how like I've got the perfect hashtag for Tim Settle if they decide to go with him.
Yes, I've seen
it. It's Settle for Settle.
It's perfect. It's great.
You don't have a second round pick, you're going to have to settle. Or you don't have a first round pick, you're going to have to settle for Settle. And that's okay because he's a stud. He's a good prospect. I'll tell you a little bit about Hercules Mata'afa. And this, I call him in the show today, in the podcast. It's this year's Patrick Mahomes for me.
Oh my goodness. This is it. I found the Mahomes comparison. I saw in the post something about a Mahomes comparison. I can't believe I found it. I feel like I struck gold.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. So, okay, Patrick Mahomes.
Please explain.
Rare talent.
Right.
And the, you know, just oozing with all kinds of talent and ability. But there's some concerns about being able to translate to the next level, and there's going to be some, you know, you can be required to settle into a new situation, a new system, all that kind of stuff. Develop his footwork, develop some of the baseline things, okay? Mm-hmm. Hercules Mata'afa, he's 6'2", 245 pounds, and he was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. He had 22.5 tackles for loss, 10.5 sacks, at D tackle. He's 6'2", 245. He was all conference, all Pac-12 at two positions because enough people voted for him at two different spots to be all conference.
Wow.
Okay. But he was an interior defensive lineman. But he has literally one of the most impressive first steps I've ever seen in my life. He just shoots gaps without any issues, and like people couldn't block him. He was beating offensive linemen to their pass sets. Like they just couldn't even get near him. He's moving to outside because he's little.
Right. Okay, that was my next question.
45.
Okay.
He's got to play edge.
Right.
He is rare talent that needs to transition to a different situation, learn new things, some things that are pretty normal for people to have like proficiency in, but he's got those rare traits. That's this year's Patrick Mahomes for me, and I've given out 18 first round picks, like grading. I've given out 18. There's not going to be 32. That's not how NFL teams do it. They set their board, they rank their players, and then like, you know, they'll probably have between, you know, 15 and 20 first round picks, and
right.
then 15 to 60. Yeah, I've given out 18. Hercules Madahop got one. I think he's great, and I would absolutely love him to be a Kansas City Chief. And if he does well at the combine, there's no chance he will.
Interesting. All right, fair enough. That's interesting. You also might be rooting for a bad combine performance because you're sold on the tape and you want him to fall. It makes a lot of sense.
Yep. Well, I mean, I part of my projection on him is some athletic upside, so we'll see what happens. I do. It's going to be interesting. I would love for him to be on the Chiefs when it's all said and done. He's got some really special traits.
Give me a quick just positional evaluation of the safeties, and then we're going to move to the offensive side. The safeties in this class, the depth of the safety class, what do you see here? If the Chiefs are going to address it through the draft, which I would think they'd be doing because it's right now it's Eric Berry and Daniel Sorensen and Eric Murray. Where do you see the Chiefs targeting as far as timing in the draft, as far as the safety position?
Well, I think safety's up for grabs at 54 too, and there's guys at 54, there's guys in the third round that make a lot of sense for them. One of them, I'll just give you one, it's a kid named Jesse Bates III. He's a sophomore, redshirt sophomore, and I think he's probably got pretty good evaluations done by the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think the media is up on him yet. So, you know, you hear like late risers, everybody's talking about,
yes.
Oh, this guy's a late riser.
Yes.
The NFL, he's not a late riser. He's a late riser between us, you know, media nerds and
right.
stuff.
Right.
But there's a kid out there, his name's Jesse Bates, and he's the kind of like the free safety guy. Like he's fast, he's athletic. I think he's going to wind up rising up the media boards. And what he would do is allow Eric Berry to kind of play in a box safety role. So
right.
Jesse Bates is playing like your single high kind of role. I would be very interested in a guy like him. I have a second round grade on him. I'm guessing he's probably going to be a third or fourth round pick. So there's an opportunity for the Chiefs to, in my opinion, get some value at the safety position.
I've seen that the Chiefs already have a couple formal interviews set up with at least a couple of tight ends in this class. This team's definitely going to be in the market for young tight ends because this team will use two tight ends, probably in the speed variety, but also eventually you start having contingency plans for what if something happens to Travis Kelce. So what do you see in this class as far as tight ends go? And then we'll go to all pass catchers, but tight ends first.
Okay. So there's a guy named Mike Gesicki. He's a tight end from Penn State. And actually, there's three really good tight ends that I really like in this class. It's Dallas Goedert. He's a guy from South Dakota State. You probably heard his name a little bit. He's a little bit like Travis Kelce. He looks like him.
Like that.
If you ever watch
That's
him,
good.
Looks like Travis Kelce. There's a kid named Mark Andrews, a tight end from Oklahoma. Really fluid. He's not going to test particularly well, but he creates separation. Then there's this kid named Mike Gesicki. And this is the kid I'm very intrigued, maybe in the third round range. He's a former volleyball player. He has the catch radius of Shaq. I mean, it's just he's just got a huge catch radius. It's just ginormous because he can jump out the gym. And he's the kind of guy, like, imagine this with me for a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to get you excited about Patrick Mahomes and all that good stuff,
good.
Obviously.
I'm ready.
I love the idea of the Chiefs going with big personnel groupings and then going empty formation and no huddle.
Yes,
because
me too.
You could put someone in a terrible personnel decision and just torch them.
Yes, of course.
So
yeah, I love it.
Think about Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, a huge athletic catch radius tight end in Mike Gesicki. Let's go with DeMarcus Robinson and Kareem Hunt. You just throw those guys out there. You've got 12 personnel. The defense is thinking, I probably need to at least go nickel and maybe even go base, depending on the team. And then you just you just don't let them leave the field, and you just go no huddle up and down the field, put them in a ton of, you know, situations where they're just they can't guard everybody. And then you've got huge catch radiuses like Travis Kelce and Mike Gesicki working in the middle of the field. You know, like,
yes.
I think some, like unique traits like that, like a big catch radius or just a blazing fast guy to go on the other side of Tyreek Hill, just add some very unique trait to this offense and just exploit it.
Yeah, I think you're totally on board there. We're running a little short on time, so I'll accept that for the wide receivers as well, that's the strategy in mind, and the guys that fill that position make a lot of sense. I have one particular Don Quixote position that I would love to see the Chiefs draft this year, and I want you to tell me if you have anything on this at all. I'm not terribly interested in seeing the Chiefs put money into the quarterback position when they can afford not to. I would love to see the Chiefs go ahead and find their backup quarterback late in this year's draft. Have you even considered this possibility? And if so, who do you have for me?
I have some information on quarterbacks, but I am very much against adding a young quarterback this year.
Why?
For the only, I'll tell you. And there's a couple guys I have in mind for who they should back up Patrick Mahomes. It's important for Pat to have a experienced soundboard in that room with him.
That's
and I know
fair.
They've got a lot of coaches, yeah. And they've got my guy Mike Kafka.
Yep, Mike Kafka.
He's their new quarterback coach.
Yep.
But it's important for him to have another soundboard in that room. And so a guy like Chase Daniel.
No.
Bring him back.
I will not.
For next to nothing.
I will not
sign
off on
you
this.
You don't like Chase Daniel move?
No. No. At that point, just have Mike Kafka around all the time. I don't want to see Chase Daniel take another snap ever.
Well, okay. But you got to understand, you're hoping he doesn't.
Of course.
And if Pat Mahomes gets hurt, this team's screwed anyway.
Yes.
I mean, this whole season rides on whether or not Pat's good.
100%.
That's the truth of the matter.
Yes.
Whatever happens this year, it depends. Like, the defense, all these, everybody's scared about losing Marcus Peters and all that. If Pat's good, this team's good.
Yep.
But it's important to help Pat develop to have a guy that knows the system, that knows how to prepare, that knows how to go through the process, and can articulate what he's seeing at a high level. Because those are the things that help a young quarterback. I'm just going to give you a name. If Mike White, a Western Kentucky quarterback, is going to go in the first round, mm-hmm. he's 23 years old, mm-hmm. He's not going to be able to articulate the same way that Chase Daniel would be able to. And it's not going to be as useful and helpful.
Right.
And Pat's going to have to be the one helping to bring Mike White along.
Right.
Let's just use his name. You know? So I think it's important to continue to surround him with smart, articulate guys that are able to communicate what they need to accomplish and things to help him reach his ceiling.
Okay,
so they need to be surrounding him with experience.
Let's hire Brett Favre. Let's give Brett Favre the veteran minimum. He never has to actually play. He won't be dressed. Listen, that's another problem for Brett Favre. He won't be in uniform come game day. You still draft a guy. You keep that cost as low as humanly possible. And Brett Favre teaches Patrick Mahomes how to be an NFL quarterback. Let's do that instead of Chase Daniel.
As much as I would love to see that, I think they're trying to keep some of the Favre out of him.
I know. I don't want that. I don't want them to do that. Let him Favre.
But all the YOLO balls. Just
yes.
YOLO balls everywhere.
Yes. Well, again, that was another Brett Favre problem. Brett Favre has already gotten in trouble. Brett Favre's gotten in trouble on and off the field with those YOLO balls. So I don't want to.
We haven't even talked about his jeans commercials yet either.
Right.
I mean.
Listen. I've been a Chiefs fan now, and I've for my entire short life, and I haven't seen any quarterbacks that are out here ready to go rock a jeans commercial. I want Patrick Mahomes to have the ability to go absolutely crush a commercial selling denim. I want that for my quarterback.
What are they going to do with his voice? It's Pat Mahomes with Lee Jeans here.
We need to have you on again under the guise of you being Patrick Mahomes. That was flawless. That's a flawless Mahomes impression.
It's just a really crappy Kermit the Frog impression.
It works.
Like, that's it.
It's perfect. They'll dub it over. they'll dub it over, or it'll be like one of those things where he doesn't actually say anything until the very end, where it's just like, it's just the big voice guy just talking about, our denim moves with you. And at the end, all Mahomes has to say is the word Wrangler. And and he just has to do enough takes.
Even that'll be a journey, though.
Oh, like, yes.
I mean, let's just...
I'm sure.
Wrangler. Oh, man.
All right, Ken.
I would buy those jeans, though.
Oh, my goodness. Of course. You can stitch little 15s into the back pocket. Oh, my goodness. Who wouldn't wear those?
That'd be great. So handsome.
And we get some, like, we should get some, like, red denim. Like, really, let's go ahead and drive this home for the market. I would wear more jeans if I could get some red denim Mahomes-branded Wranglers. That sounds, it's a dream.
They'd sell great in Lubbock, too.
Yes, of course. That's perfect. All right, that's Kent Swanson, a man who apparently would love to get into Patrick Mahomes' pants. Kent, good luck on the podcast. And hopefully all of your dreams come true as you learn the magic of being able to delete things that you wish you wouldn't have said on live radio.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Kent Swanson of Arrowhead Pride is on Twitter at Kent_Swanson. Hopefully I won't. I was actually going to say hopefully I didn't just, like, burn any bridges for him, but he's the one that did a Patrick Mahomes impression. I think if there are any lines to be pushed there, he started it. Now I feel like a child. He started it! I would absolutely, by the way, wear some, like, red denim. Like, I'm wearing some pretty stretchy black denim pants right now. These, but just, like, in a dark red. Oh, made for me.
Very quickly, the perfect Patrick Mahomes impression.
Okay.
One part Kermit the Frog.
Okay.
One part gargling water.
That makes sense. That also helps me with my cartoon garbage disposal, which I'm really very fond of as well. I think that's an inspired choice. God, what a nerd. Kent's such a nerd. Did you get a nap in those 30 minutes or so, Beards? I'm not saying I was bored by Kent. I was very interested. Beards, however, don't let his Chiefs t-shirt fool you. Beards is so mad we haven't talked about the J.R. Smith story yet. J.R. Smith threw soup at an assistant coach. And that's the first time we've mentioned it on the show today. I'm sorry, Beards. Maybe next time.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I would be so upset if someone just heard the last 5 minutes. If someone was just like just leaving work late and like, oh God, like I need to get home.
You know what I want to do? I'm going to tune into ESPN Kansas City.
Sure.
I bet they've got great sports stuff.
Yes.
With Joshua Briscoe.
ESPN Kansas City sounds like a place where I could at least get a little bit of a Chiefs Chargers preview. Let's flip over to that station.
Mad Pooper!
Oh, the talking about poop.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Clint says it's a shame we can't have Blake Bortles to back up Patrick Mahomes. It's not funny, Clint. It's not funny. Also, they're talking about bringing back Dontari Poe as the backup to Patrick Mahomes. That's a good idea. That is an idea that I'm willing to sign up for. Dontari Poe comes back to be a starting defensive lineman, and also to back up Patrick Mahomes. I think that is...
The whole season they've got Mahomes as, like, the decoy quarterback.
Ooh.
And Dontari Poe's the actual one.
That's also pretty good.
And nobody figures it out all year despite Patrick Mahomes never throwing a pass.
Right, Poe's getting all of the reps in training camp.
Actually, Mahomes has like one trick play where he actually throws the ball.
Yeah.
He's the backup.
He has the Travis Kelce play.
The decoy.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure that would work out great. Also, slightly plausible. The way this offseason's going.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of curveballs thrown our way this offseason. Once again, you can follow Kent on Twitter. At Kent_Swanson, go to Arrowhead Pride and hear his draft podcast. If you enjoyed that, go listen to his podcast. Also, one more time today, I guess one more time this week, for people who haven't heard yet, we are ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM and 94.5 FM.
1520.
If you didn't hear the first hour, you'd be confused and that's fine. I'm going to let you be confused. I'm not going to explain the whole story again.
Go listen to the first hour.
Go listen to the first hour if you don't know why we are joking about this being 15-10. It's 15-10! You can also listen live on 1510.com or if you get your podcasts, which is how I assume most of you do consume this show. What was I going to say? I had something else that was going with this. Oh, and the at Kansas City ESPN Twitter is popping off.
It's a legitimate thing now.
It's an actual thing. We had one idea and invested a day into it, and we picked up like 1,500 followers in one day. So if you go follow the page, and if you tweet at Kansas City ESPN and say I followed you because Josh told me to, we'll follow you back.
2176.
Look at that, man. Killing it. We picked up almost 2,000 followers in 24 hours.
Yeah.
I also am not quite at 2,000 yet, and Beards is not quite at 200.
I'm five away.
Beards has 195 followers, and I have 1,988. And we've been keeping an eye on this. He get to 200 before I get to 2,000. I think you will get there first, Beards.
Hopefully.
But it's close. And I've had a couple pretty good days. If I have one more like big tweet that blows up for some reason, I might be able to beat you to it, but I'm pretty sure at this point.
Mine's just based off luck.
Yes, it's just like, oh, which spam bot found this account? It really has has leaped to new heights, though, since you had an actual avatar now that is the Funko Pop version of you.
Yes.
And is your cover photo still a screenshot of you talking to Kevin Romery?
Yes.
That really helps because it's actually you and not just like a black and white clip art beard or whatever. Is that what it was?
At the very beginning.
Yeah.
It was just like a normal picture of me.
It's the one picture of you that I've ever seen. Just your face.
I don't take pictures of myself.
Half covered by a microphone. If you want, like, selfie instructions or whatever, right, we can work on this. I can teach a master class.
I mean, you point the camera at yourself.
No, no, no. There are so many factors. You Neanderthal.
You stand in front of a mirror in the bathroom.
No! Get a tripod and, like, a little mobile phone clip thing.
Takes too much effort.
No, but it's so worth it. You think I got this pretty by accident? All right, talk to you Monday. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.